And we're back on this Wednesday morning, and we're so pleased to be joined by, I think, here in Idaho, probably a household name. Jeff Foxworthy is coming to the Eastern Idaho State Fair Friday night. Jeff, welcome. It is such an honor to have you on the program this morning.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be talking to you and looking forward to coming back to Idaho.
Well, this opportunity to interview you emerged yesterday afternoon. So I had some time to really think about this. And I thought, I had a little moment. Now, I'm going to have you do most of the talking, but I have to tell you a little story. And since you're the expert in this, you tell me if I'm a redneck. Is that fair enough?
That seems fair.
Okay. A couple years ago, my daughter, who was in college at the time, she came home for the weekend, and she drives a little European import-type car and told me, "Dad, I need to get my oil changed." She was overdue for that. I'm like, okay, fine. So we pull it into the garage. I put it up on the ramps. Keep in mind, I've never, ever aspired to be a redneck when I tell you this story, ever. But I get underneath the car, and they've got this plastic cover underneath the entire undercarriage of the car. And so I thought, okay, this shouldn't be any trouble, and I'll take it off. Well, then they have these little fasteners, but I can't figure out how to take it off. And I'm thinking, well, I just want to change the oil here. And so I'm lying there, and I'm frustrated, wrestling with this thing, and I'm thinking, okay, my Idaho farm boy comes out. I climb back out from under the car. I grab the jigsaw and I cut a hole in that plastic cover right where the oil pan is in the drain plug, and it worked perfectly. But as I was doing it, the jigsaw, the blade caught, popped me in the nose, and I started kind of bleeding. Anyway, I'm lying there thinking, I just changed the motor oil in my daughter's car using a jigsaw. It's like I'm a living, breathing Jeff Foxworthy joke here.
Well, as you started telling the story, Neil, and you said you got up under the car and there was a plastic cover, I'm thinking, now what would a redneck do here? A redneck would saw a hole in the bottom of that cover and go ahead and change the oil.
No.
So I think it's not only you might be a redneck, I think it's you are a redneck.
Because no.
Let me tell you, it's like Larry the Cable Guy says, everybody makes fun of rednecks until their car breaks down. You want us around when something's broken, because it may not be pretty, but we will get it fixed.
Well, Jeff, I've never watched NASCAR. I don't drink beer. I don't have cars on blocks in my front yard. But you don't have to have those things to be a redneck.
No, my definition of it, it's a glorious absence of sophistication. So if you were a sophisticated car mechanic, you would have pulled out the book and learned how to take the plastic cover off. But because you had a momentary absence of sophistication, you just went ahead and took the little saw and sawed a hole in it and busted your nose. So,
well,
yeah.
I think back to when I was 10 or 11. I grew up on a farm, and I got a new pocket knife, and there was a bloated cow. I actually stabbed the bloated cow with the pocket knife.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
See, you've got more of this in your DNA than you really want to admit.
I don't want to be that guy, but I think I am.
Yeah, I think you've just got some of it going through your bloodstream, and it's good to let it out once in a while.
I guess so. Well, my news assistant and I yesterday, we were watching when we knew we were going to interview you. We watched the bit about the guy who got his nipple bitten off by a beaver, and I thought,
totally true story.
At least I have both my nipples.
Yeah,
I have not. Go ahead.
And let me tell you the follow up to that. So the couple tells me about the brother that got his nipple bitten off by the beaver, which, as a comic, you couldn't make up a story like that because nobody would believe it. Well, and then I told it, I think, on the first Blue Collar Comedy Tour. And then I got a picture, an 8x10 color picture from the brother holding his shirt up and pointing, and honest to goodness, it's gone. I mean, it's not there anymore. The beaver took it.
Okay, well, that guy's got me beat in the redneck department, at least.
Yeah, so yeah, there's different rankings. You're not going to be number one, but don't act like you're not ranked on the scale, because you are. You've got it in you.
Okay, 1 to 10, where am I? And then we can move on.
And you're not number one, but I got you in there about 8 or 9 somewhere.
Okay. I even had a 3.
But if you live in Eastern Idaho, that's nothing to be ashamed about.
No.
It's kind of kind of a little badge of honor there.
I guess so. It's just I'd never aspire. I find your humor hilarious, but I've never really aspired to be a red. I had a three-legged dog one time too, Jeff. So there you go, right?
If his name was Tripod, I'm moving you up two more spots.
No, he's so. Not. It wasn't. It wasn't. So you've traveled the country. You have met so many people. Where is the redneckiest of the rednecks?
Oh boy, that maybe in the infield at the race, NASCAR race at Talladega. That may be the redneck nirvana right there. But you know, the reason that I think it worked, Neil, because early on when I was writing these things,
yeah,
I mean, I was just thinking about my family and friends and where I grew up. But I kind of learned, because I've been to all 50 states, once you get 20 minutes outside of any city, people are the same. You know, the accents may change a little bit, and the scenery may change, but the people are the same. And somebody said, well, you're talking about the lowest common denominator. And I said, no. I said, I'm talking about the most common denominator. I'm talking about the backbone of this country, because the media centers are New York and L.A., mm-hmm. but most of the people in this country don't live like the people in New York and L.A. live. So, you know, that's the difference to me, is you're talking about real-life people, because that's the way I've always done my comedy, is I just assume, hey, if I think it or my wife says it or my family does it, other people are thinking and saying and doing the same things, and I just kind of trust that.
So would you also say, and maybe, I don't know, you could overanalyze this, but when you look at the whole, I guess, the redneck thing, is it just people being themselves, living their own lives and not trying to be somebody they're not? Is that part of it?
I think it is, which is, to me, a tremendous part of their appeal. Is, you know, early in my career, I lived in L.A. for several years because my whole thing was I wanted to be on Johnny Carson. And, you know, you'll understand that. My kids don't. But back in the day, that was Mount Everest for a comedian, was for Johnny Carson to like you enough to call you over to the couch, you know. And
oh, yeah.
But in living in L.A., I saw all these people pretending to be something that they're not. And I'm like, y'all, that's too much work, because I can clean up, I can go to church, I can go to the White House, and I can behave myself. But if you leave me, I mean, yesterday, I'll give you last weekend. Last weekend, I did shows all weekend with Larry the Cable Guy, went on stage and sang with the Marshall Tucker Band. Then Sunday night, I was at Auburn University talking about leadership, and then all day yesterday, all day Monday, I was on a bulldozer on my farm trying to fix my road, you know.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm not working, I'm usually on my farm on a tractor or a bulldozer, or come the fall, I'm bow hunting. And
so
that's who I am.
It's not an act for you. This is your life.
It is my life. And that's why I think it worked for me, is because the things I talk about, or the things I'm living, you know. When people, I did the first redneck, you might be a redneck, page a day calendar in 1990, mm-hmm. and I'm still doing them. So that's what, 27 years later, and every year I'm thinking, Lord, there can't be 365 more of these, and there is. So if people go, how do you come up with that? I'm like, there's no research going on. I mean, it's either things I'm doing or seeing, or somebody coming up to me in the Home Depot going, hey, Jeff, let me tell you what my brother did. I'm like, all right, let me grab a pen.
Well, it's funny you say that. I have a coworker who walked into the studio and said, hey, I got a redneck joke. I'm like, okay, lay it on, because he knew I was going to interview you. And he said, if your mom's dating your ex-boyfriend, you might be a redneck.
Well, and somewhere that happened for him.
Yep.
Like early on, one of the ones was, if you've ever used a toilet brush as a back scratcher, and I'm like, you know, some guy has come out of the bathroom, and his wife went, "What are you doing? I'm scratching my back. What does it look like?" You know, I mean,
Right.
That's what makes it funny, is somebody's done it.
So we're talking with Jeff Foxworthy, the household name comedian. He'll be at Eastern Idaho State Fair Friday night. Funatthefair.com is the website. So I want to ask you one more question, Jeff. Kind of a little more of a serious question. Here we're on a news talk station, so we talk a lot of heavy issues, political unrest, the threat of war, natural disasters. And I think it's important for people to have a place to go to laugh once in a while. In a shared experience. And I want to commend you and invite you to comment, if you'd like, on the role that your comedy and maybe that of similar comedians plays in a society that needs to escape in a healthy way.